Rio Olympics have just wrapped up, and that means everyone has returned home pretty much. A lot of medals for the United States, 121 in all, more than any other country by a lot. 46 gold medals for the U.S., more than any other country by quite a lot. And joining us now to recap Rio and look back on all of the big highlights and some of the bigger controversies, Dr. Deb Stroman of the UNC Kenan Flagler Business School, sports commentator extraordinaire. How you doing?
I am doing well. There's just so much on my mind in terms of sport this weekend.
And wrapped up the Olympics with the Team USA basketball winning the gold. After all of those three-point wins, including the one over Serbia early in the prelims, got to Serbia again in the gold medal game and just rolled over them.
Well, there's definitely 2 points in mind with the game. First off, of course, we're talking about whether or not we actually have two Carmelo Anthonys. There is the Carmelo Anthony who plays for the NBA's New York Knickerbockers, who's viewed as a ball hog, as the person who possibly ran Jeremy Lin out of New York. He's definitely a scoring machine, but many would question his leadership. And then you have this Carmelo Anthony who was the three P's. He was patriotic, he was professional, and he was a promoter of everything Team USA Basketball. So I think he really did a great job of improving his image to the world.
Does his is all of those gold medals that he's won, and him in particular, he's been such a key component of, what, three gold medal teams now. Is that now his big legacy as a basketball player?
I would think so, and we did have a few players who felt that winning the gold for the United States was bigger than winning an NBA championship. And I'm sure there are a lot of NBA players who would disagree because the best competition is in the NBA. It's not in the Olympic competition, but I think there's probably no greater feeling. I wish I could have experienced it, but being an athlete, to stand in front of the world and represent your country. And so I think Carmelo Anthony did a great job, and I think that will help his legacy with basketball. On the other hand, Jerry Colangelo, he is the organizer, the convener of everything with men's basketball, USA Basketball, and he was quoted as saying that he really wanted other countries to get their acts together and become more competitive. And I think what he was speaking is about the United States domination. Mm-hmm. And I take issue with that. Certainly as someone who has used basketball as a tool to open many doors, to create a lot of wonderful relationships that I have, but other countries, they aren't as privileged as we are. And they have other priorities than being than the creation of an elite men's basketball team. There are family obligations for some countries. There's a military obligation. And, of course, everyone is questioning our educational system. But for other countries, education is the number one priority in life. So for Jerry Colangelo to make that comment that basketball needs to improve. It's the number two sport in the world. It has to get better. But we put that pressure on the other countries to get their acts together. I just didn't think that was a well thought out statement.
And there's so many different ways to respond to it. On the one hand, countries have gotten their act together. I mean, there's a couple of blowouts there at the end where Team USA won the semi and the final really easily, but then you had those three-point games early on when maybe the U.S. was having a little trouble getting its act together, but that wasn't to take away from the other teams, which were playing extremely well, and you have all of these teams way more than you did maybe 20, 24 years ago when the USA was super dominant, where all of these teams now have multiple NBA players on it, so they're fielding essentially NBA-level squads going up against the U.S. every time.
Well, I definitely agree with that. So hopefully he's going to retract or do a longer interview to really explain. But it really came across as another example of American arrogance. When I think about the other big thoughts or highlights of the Olympics, definitely we have history makers. Usain Bolt's 9 gold medals. Simone Biles, 5 medals. Phelps, of course, 23 golds. And sadly, we have to close out with Ryan Lochte with the Lochte Gate, and I just saw that he's now lost 3 endorsements, Speedo, Ralph Lauren, and Cinnarin Kandel. So I think the sky is definitely falling on Ryan.
And I mean, the sort of the other side controversy as it relates to Ryan Lochte is the media's coverage of it and the way that people responded to it. He's losing his sponsorships. He's getting really hit for all of that. But there were just as many people who were rushing to excuse it and, oh, boys will be boys. And, you know, he's young. He's only 32 years old. And it was the same people who were on Twitter hounding Gabby Douglas just a few days ago.
Well, that is America. Definitely. We've got these two sides of people who will use any opportunity to discredit women, female participation. And that is another thing that I want to note is the gender bias in sports reporting. The sports reporters during Rio 2016 often referred to female athletes as older, unmarried, while men are strong, big, and great. Also, the usage of women being called girls, while men are very rarely called boys. But in this situation with Ryan Lochte, he was then called a boy. He was called a kid mm-hmm. when he's a 32-year-old man. So, you know, the idea with women being judged on their appearance is not just limited to sport. We see terms that are used to belittle or to bring attention to the male partner, husband, boyfriend, when women athletes excel. So hopefully one day we'll get more women in the newsrooms, in the media center, so that we can help decrease this bias.
Talking with Deb Stroman, Keenan Flagler Business School, again, sports commentator, and we're looking back on the Rio Olympics, and there's so many great highlights, and you mentioned Michael Phelps, the 23 gold medals, and that's more than twice as many as anyone else has ever won, which is just phenomenal to even begin to think about. You had Katie Ledecky on the also in the pool, winning races by just astronomical amounts. What do you think, like looking back 50 years from now, we're going to look back as being the highlight of the Olympics?
Well, there's no doubt records are meant to be broken, and certainly with the advances in analytics and technology, those records will be broken. But it's similar to the high jumper. Can't even remember his name right now, but holding on to that high jumping record for so long. And then, of course, people thought that Michael Johnson's records with the 400, the 200 would never be broken.
Yep.
So I think it will change. Again, I'm always intrigued with this politics, no politics flavor of the Olympics. We saw a wonderful example of politics and how it can bring people together when we saw the Korean gymnast, Hong Eun-jung of North Korea and Lee Eun-jung of South Korea, embrace and take that selfie when those two countries are technically at war. And then on the other side, you see the Arab-Israeli tensions. And this isn't new. Certainly, Israel has had lots of negativity over the years in terms of their Olympic participation. But I saw three things that I noted. On the way to the Olympics opening ceremony, Lebanon did not let Israel on the bus, their athletes. That created a mess. And then in the judo matches, Saudi Arabia, they basically tried to skip. They forfeited a match so they wouldn't have to go against Israel in the second round. And then lastly, the one that got lots of attention, when this Egyptian judo athlete, after he had competed against an Israeli athlete, he refused to shake the Israeli athlete's hand. And so, again, examples of how politics weaves in and out of the Olympics, yet we're supposed to be there for sportsmanship, friendship, and just the idea of competition.
Yeah, speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman again, and I think it's worth noting, and this has been the case. This is the case with sports, and I think this is the case with just sort of any entertainer at all, that we often hear people say, "Oh, they shouldn't be talking about politics; they should just stick to sports." They always say that when the athlete or the entertainer is expressing a political view that this person specifically disagrees with, when it's something that I do agree with, then absolutely get that entertainer, an athlete up there on the podium and let them speak as much as possible. And it's also the case with sort of divisiveness versus coming together and uniting around a common cause. You were mentioning those sort of issues of moments of divisiveness. And at the same time, there was another really significant political moment. And I guess you could call this divisive because it's really taking a strong stand against something. But it was the, I'm not going to get the pronunciation of his name right, the silver medalist in the marathon, from Ethiopia, Feyisa Lalisa, I think is how you pronounce his name, who wins the silver medal. And then as he's running across the finish line, he holds up his arms, crosses his arms above his head, which is a signal of protest against the Ethiopian government, which had really cracked down in a deadly way against people in his community. And he was taking a stand internationally on the global stage against that crackdown, which is a divisive act, and he might get in serious trouble for it, but it's also something that I think should be celebrated.
That's right. It's similar to Tommy Smith and John Carlos in 1968, the Mexico Games.
Yep.
But there's no doubt that Lalesa, he really felt compelled because he has relatives in prison, and he made the statement that if he goes back to Ethiopia, they might kill him or they'll put him in prison. Now, the Ethiopian government said he's not going to face any type of prosecution, but that is one thing that said, you know, during the heat of the Olympics. Another thing just to mention for those of you out in the listening audience who follow Great Britain and England, the Telegraph, their publication put out an interesting article looking at the alternate medal count adjusted for population and GDP.
Yes, you posted about this.
Yeah,
I saw this.
So United States, number one, Great Britain and China, two and three. But when we look at those other factors, actually the Bahamas, they dominate the Olympics. They've won only one gold medal when that runner, Miller, she dived across the line to get the first place. And then Grenada's on top when it comes to total medals per capita. And then Jamaica, which has just amazing Olympic sprinters. But when it comes to medals per 100 pounds in GDP, actually they win. So it's interesting to think about when we put things in perspective, again, the privilege that we have as America, as Americans, we can look at how these smaller countries that do an incredible job to not only be there at the Olympics, but to also win medals.
And it really underscores just how different the experience is of watching the Olympics when you're back in the home country. I know, you know, being in the United States, we just sort of take it for granted that American athletes are going to win a couple dozen gold medals or more. And we did really well this year, four dozen gold medals. But there are other countries where, you know, smaller, poorer, less of an athletics infrastructure, if they win one or two medals at all, they're thrilled. And that bronze medalist is a national hero forever. I remember in 2000, I was talking about this just the other day, in 2002, the Winter Olympics, where Apollo Anton Ono was the speed skater from the U.S., and he beat the South Korean in this controversial, like, they got tangled up on the track, and the penalty wasn't called, and Ono ended up getting the gold medal. And then 6 months later in the World Cup, South Korea is playing the U.S., and South Korea scores a goal, and the entire team rushes over to the corner, and they start, like, miming speed skating, because that's their revenge on the U.S. for having gotten the gold in speed skating. And I guarantee you 90% of the Americans who were watching that game were like, oh yeah, that did happen. I completely forgot about that. Who was that guy?
Well, it's amazing the effect of the Olympics on this world stage and how it creates young people's interest, helps to bolster young people's interest in sport and being the best that they can be. So for as much as we got a pinch, we got that ugly American viewpoint that came out in particular with the Ryan Lochte situation, but I think more so the American influence, as in to be great, to be better, to compete, but be cooperative at the same time. I think that's the wonderful thing that the Olympics does for our country. I'm very hopeful that all of the athletes had a wonderful time. They were able to see a country that offers just a beautiful spirit. The food, the geography, hopefully everyone had a great experience and will come back and be a better nation, because there's certainly some things we need to work on in America. So let's bring that Olympic spirit back.
Dr. Deb Stroman from the Kenan Flagler Business School, we got to let you go. But before we do, as the Olympics are wrapping up, of course, tomorrow is first day of classes at UNC. Everyone's back on campus. Fall sports have already started up. UNC women's soccer got a couple of wins over the weekend. Men's soccer coming up. Fall football coming up right after that. What are you excited about this semester?
Well, I'm just excited to be back. So for the MBA program, we started today. So we've already been in the classroom. We're already rolling up our sleeves and attacking the data and the various issues. I'm excited for the university. We're going to have a great year. I just feel everything in its alignment. Certainly our most prominent sport, football, during this time of the year. Everyone's excited about this big Georgia game coming up. I'm really hopeful and thankful for Coach Fedora and his leadership. But I'm really excited about the entire year. I think everybody's going to be ready to come together and just have a great experience in the classroom and outside of it.
Dr. Deb Stroman, Keenan Flagler Business School. Thank you so much.
Thank you.